Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back again with another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman, and we are going with my Chargers today. Exciting year for them, obviously. It's a lot of talk about Justin Herbert and, you know, some of the stars, Keenan Allen. But we got one of my favorite guys I love to watch, man. It's Drew Tranquil. And this is what I love about Drew the most. And, you know, obviously he's a tremendous athlete, whatever, but, you know, his mentality and coming back from the injuries and always staying positive, you know, his faith, a lot of these things that I've just got a chance to watch. And I didn't meet him until not too long ago during this offseason, but just a hell of a person to meet. If he stays healthy this year, I'm expecting big things out of him. So we go on my Chargers today. Talk about the season. Drew Tranquil. Drew, what's up, my dude? How you doing?
I'm great, man. How about you?
I'm great, dude. You know, just trying to keep my old ass in shape. When I was talking to you this morning, and I look at you now, man, I'm like, these dudes young. They can move. Their hips are still good. Knees, and even though you had some injuries, I'm like, you still, you know, in great shape. You always kept up with it, man. How's your body feeling overall?
It's good, man. We had a good leg day yesterday. And yeah, we're doing all the hips and stuff, all the mobility. I feel like a lot of trainers have really got on top of the functional side of things in terms of body maintenance and keeping the important things like your hips, your low back, all those things moving. So it's been good, man. What were you hitting in the gym when I hit you up yesterday, man? What, you just like pumping that? Some buys and tries, man? Are you getting the full body stuff?
Listen, all I do stuff now for looks. That's it.
Yeah. Beach body.
I'm a Ferrari on the outside, but I'm a 1972 Oldsmobile on the inside, man. So I just try. You know what's different now is that my mentality had to change when you retire, right? So when you're playing, like, obviously you got to go against 300-some-pound linemen that's coming up and leading up on you guys. And
yeah.
So your body needs to be a little bit different from that. But man, what you just said, I wish that I learned a lot early in my career where you don't have to, you know, squat 600-700 pounds. You don't have to put four plates on the bench in order to go out there and have success on the field. I wish I learned that a lot earlier.
Yeah. I haven't back squatted heavy in a really, really long time, really since college. Ever since I've gotten to pro, it's been pit shark. It's been leg press. It's been explosive movements on the field. Because you don't necessarily need all that load, you know, transferring down your spine, lifting heavy 3, 4, 5 times a week. And so I think the science and the data just continues to show that, you know, the sports performance side of things just continues to evolve in terms of health, the health and well-being of the athletes. And so it's exciting. We can certainly use it on our team this year, man. We're going to try to be healthy.
That's the key. And I say that at least for the last couple of years with you guys, that if you stayed healthy, you're going to compete with anybody in the National Football League, period. And sometimes what happens is, and, you know, when the first string guys or the first round of guys get hurt, you got second or third, whoever, there can be a drop off. You get what I'm saying? Like that was always my thing. I said, look, you're going to have some injuries. Guys are going to get banged up, going to have a hamstring, hip, ankle, shoulder, something like that during the season where they might miss some time. Even if it's for a game or two, you have to have really readily available guys to go in and step up where it's not a drop off.
Yeah. And it's tough too, because it's one thing to have a guy get hurt and you've got 10 guys around him that can kind of pick up his slack. But when you have guys hurt at each level, you talk about Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram missing time last year, then me at the second level, and then Derwin James in the back end. I guess I'm speaking specifically for the defense. But it's tough when you have guys at each level hurt and you're trying to compete and be a great defense in the National Football League. And so, you know, Coach Staley's made it an emphasis that his number one job is to get us to the season healthy. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to what this training camp might look like.
Has your mentality changed? Because I had some little injury things in college, like nicks and stuff, where I missed a little bit of time, but nothing serious. My first big injury came in the NFL when I missed time because of my knee. I tore my PCL and LCL. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first time I actually had to sit out for a real course of time. Like, how was that time for you? Because for me, I was stressed out. I got into a small state of depression. Mm. And it was mainly because, not even just injury, it's just I used to watch guys go out to the practice field and, like, had to be sitting in the training room with ice on my knee or whatever was I was recuperating from, recovering from. Just to see that alone, man, was tough for me. So what part of that was hard in one of your injuries?
Well, I think it's really hard because you train 348 days, 345 days a year for an opportunity to compete in 16, now 17 games. And there's nothing given to you. And so you're training your tail off mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. You're doing all these things to put yourself in the greatest position. And so to do all of that for a year and have high expectations for yourself and see that come to an end on the fifth play of the season for me, was really, really difficult. I guess I shouldn't say luckily for me, but I went through two ACLs in college. So this process was not new to me in terms of missing time, but you talk about the mental side of the things with the depression and stuff. It's really hard when you're so close with these guys to watch them go out, to watch them travel to Kansas City, you know, travel to Foxborough, wherever they're going, and not be able to join them and not be able to take the field with them. And you know, there's two elements to that. It's one, you just want to be out there to compete with those guys. And then two, it's just your love for the game. And when you miss those two elements, you feel like you're letting your brothers down and you're just missing that just desire and passion to compete. You know, it can get hard. You're real hard.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I know you talk a lot about, like, your religion and stuff like that. Did that happen at a younger age or kind of when the injuries and stuff happened, when you had to get stronger, you know, with your religion? Me, on the other hand, man, I'm religious. Like, my family, yep, a strong Southern Baptist, but I wasn't as religious. I didn't, that part of me didn't click into, like, later on in life.
Yeah.
When the injury started to happen, were you relying more on that?
Yeah, so I gave my life to Christ when I was around 10 years old. And I remember, Sean, I was sitting on my bedroom floor when I was 12 and I took this poster off my wall. And I'll never forget sitting on that floor, 12 years old. I'm just 12. And I write, "Lord, you know the plans you have for me. If you give me the platform to make it there, I'll give you all the honor and glory back in full." And it's crazy to see that prayer come to manifestation because I really shouldn't, if you look at the odds, shouldn't be where I'm at today. Two ACLs in college. Didn't really go to a big high school, wasn't a big recruit. And then certainly the ankle dislocation last year, it's amazing. You know, when your faith is in something outside of what your job is, when you find yourself worth in something that's not relying on your performance, what that can do to your hope and what that can do to you on a daily basis. And just the hope and the resiliency it can give you to just continue to bounce back. So for me, it was certainly at a younger age for me.
No, that's dope, man. That was one of the things that I saw. And then also too, man, just, you know, get a chance to watch you around the other guys. Y'all, you guys got a tight group. I mean, you guys are pretty damn close. And, you know, I remember the times that we won and stuff, that we had a really close knit team. And talk about that, man, because, you know, Derwin is back, you know, you're back, all your whole squad, Joey's healthy. I mean, people are coming back, man. And what do you guys expect this upcoming year now that everyone's going to be on the field?
Well, we're excited. I think we have a lot of expectation and hope for what we can do. What I love about our team is there's no hierarchy system. It's not Justin Herbert's the face of the franchise and doesn't talk to anybody, or Derwin James or Joey Bosa, big contract guys. You know, they're cooler than everybody else. It's not really like that. It's a real family-esque environment where it doesn't matter where you're at, free agent, first-round draft pick, big time quarterback. Everybody's just kind of out there to play ball, and they love to play ball and love to get after it and love to compete. And so, you know, Coach Staley keeps saying we're going to do things our way. And I think that's going to be the mantra, right? We're going to be healthy and we're going to do things our way, and that's compete and build relationships. And so I think if we continue to foster that environment, we're going to be a good place.
Dude, you know what's crazy about Coach Staley? So he called me on the night that they brought him in, and we talked on the phone for about 20 minutes. He was in the car. And he said, "Look, I wanted you to be one of the first guys I reached out to because of, obviously, you know, me being in an organization and still being around you guys and being involved with the team." But what I heard in his voice, man, was like excitement and motivation. You get what I'm saying? And it wasn't like you know, some of these coaches give you the whole hype speech of rah-rah, we're going to go out there and kick everybody's ass. And it wasn't one of those. It was like, you know, we're coming in here to change things around. I realized what I have. You know, I got to adjust to her. But he would start naming the guys. And so it wasn't the, you know, we're going to come and start kicking down doors. I'm changing everything and running my way. It was a more of a technical slash like work smarter, not harder type of deal.
Sure.
Have you seen that from him since being around him so far?
I do. I think just the young energy, right? It just brings about this excitement that, you know, change is on the horizon and we're going to be in a good position. But I think you kind of hit it on the nail on the head when you said like some coaches come in there and it's just fake. It's hoorah and it's not really backed up by anything. I think with him, when you actually get in the film room and you start talking the X's and O's, you go, this guy's for real. Like he knows what he's talking about. He knows how to attack, you know, offenses. He knows how to attack defenses, even from the offensive perspective. And so I'm really excited in terms of what he's going to be able to do, putting game plans into place and really putting us in good positions to be successful. It just seems like a brilliant football mind.
No, for sure. I mean, just they were smart and how can I say that? I was hoping they were bringing in a defensive coordinator, right? Because you know, you got Herbie there and you got, you know, Keenan and you got some studs on the offense side of the ball. And you guys do on defense too. But I was always looking for them to, you know, with Telesco and those guys over there to bring in a defensive coordinator that was going to take the guys they have on his defense. Because it's a ton of y'all. Y'all got a squad if you want to look at, you know, per position basis to have a coach there that was going to let you do what you're great at doing. Yeah. Because all the great coaches that I got a chance to play for, they can say, okay, this guy's great at doing that. This guy's great at doing that. He's not so great at doing that. And they put guys in position to win. Have you seen kind of him coming in and letting guys, especially like, you know, Murray and the guys around who I don't want to use this in the wrong way, but kind of been leashed a little bit and not let go, you know, let them go and make plays. Have you seen that so far?
I mean, I think with him, he tries to find each guy's strength, and he doesn't want the system to override or precede his players. He wants the players to make the system. And so I think when he looks at his roster, he's looking at what can these guys do? What are they best at? And let's put them in those positions to make those plays. I'm interested. I wanted to ask you, maybe when you were playing or maybe even a while back, the mantra has always been defense wins championships. And you said you wanted to see a defensive guy come in. With the way that the league is going and these teams scoring 30, 40, 50 points a game, do you still feel that way as a defensive player? I mean, as a defensive player, my ego is kind of like defense wins championships. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, but, you know, more so now when I look at you guys, you got a bunch of studs and stuff on defense. It's more about the players, right? It's less about the coach. Like the great teams, the players take over. The players make things happen. And so when you start looking at the presence, you know, the Derwin James, and you're coming back healthy, and obviously, you know, Melvin Les, that was a little bit of a hit to see him sign with the Steelers. But, you know, I'm sure they're going to take care of him over there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just on the defense side of the ball, man, it's you guys really making the big plays. And I do think even though this is a offensive league, like, oriented style game now, I do believe that the defense are the ones that are finally going to close out the big games, right? So the offense, because of the rules set up and how things change, they're going to get their 21-plus points. They're going to. It's hard not to score 21 points in today's game. You're not going to see like old school. Back when I played, we would win games with 13-10, 17-10. No, you're seeing, you know, 35-28. Yeah, those are the games we're starting to see a lot now. But ultimately, man, like I think the defense, because of the mentality that you guys have, mind you, the offensive linemen, they're not like the they're not very vocal. Then a lot of the guys aren't super mean guys. It's really the defensive players. You look at the caliber of the defensive players, it shows how the team's attitude is. That's the one that kind of rub off on everybody, even on the offense side of the ball. The defensive guys make the organization go, and they feed off of each other's mentality. It gives the coaches and that, you know, kind of a chip on their shoulder. I'm always going to say defense wins championships because I really do believe the DNA of a great team comes from great defenses.
You look at it in the Super Bowl last year. right, with the Bucks and the Chiefs. Like, the Bucks defense won them that game.
100%.
And their ability to put pressure on Mahomes, force turnovers, and just get after it. I mean, Mahomes was running for his life. And they really seemed like, you got the greatest player ever in Brady orchestrating the offense. But when you look at the tenacity and the culture of that team, it seems like it was set specifically with those two guys in the middle, David and Devin White, you know?
No, 100%. And that's the DNA of this team. When they run, even when they're running the ball on offense and they're establishing a run game, you look at any one of these great teams that's won in the last 5 or 10 years and look at some of their defensive stars, guys who break down the huddle, guys who are vocal, who's getting on the other guys to step up and play better. It all comes from the defense side of the ball. And I don't care what the offense driven league that today's game is in. It really comes down to the defense side of the ball always.
Mm, I agree.
So fans, the last question, man, fans are back this year, right? Yep. You guys are playing in SoFi Stadium. What can you expect, man? Because I had the terrible luxury. No, I don't want to say that. I love Qualcomm. But you guys are playing in the state of the art, the best stadium in football. Now fans are back this year. What can everybody expect?
Well, I mean, did you watch the NBA Finals? Deer District, man, that thing was popping off.
It was just crazy.
The energy that fans can bring. And we talk about as players, like, you shouldn't need the fans to get up. You know, you should be internally motivated enough. You know, the love for your brother should be enough, but it adds an element. And it gives you that juice sometimes when you're down in the fourth quarter and you need that little pick-me-up to see those fans and the love they have for the organization and the game of football. It just brings something out in you, and it's special. It's special to look up in the stands and see your family, see your wife and your kids, and see them in your jersey. It does something. It does something to the mentality, and I know you know that. And so to be playing in this, in the best stadium in football, mind you, is just a cherry on top. And so it's going to be an exciting ride, and we've got a lot of awesome games on the slate, and we're certainly going to get things rolling here next Tuesday, man. It's going to be a ride.
Hey, man, I can't wait to see what you guys do this year. Please ball out, because I got a lot of trash to talk on social media. Because, look, that's all I can do now. Like, I could just be a troll. I could just be a troll to other people's fans. Because, you know, I go and I talk shit to anybody, because I, especially when I know it's the Raiders fans or somebody who's going to clap back at me on social media. Yeah. But I'm wishing you the best this year, man. Stay healthy. And, dude, honestly, just watching you and you know, some of the injuries you battled through, because I've been through it. And to see how strong mentally you are to come back from all that, man, I'm wishing you all the best this year.
I appreciate that, man. Let's ball out this year, and I'll come back on the pod, and we'll reminisce on the year.
Absolutely, man. You got it. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, peace.
Thanks, guys, for listening to another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And that was dope for me on many levels. The reason why I brought up the injury part of it, because it is tough, man. It is tough when you have those injuries back to back, and like I did, I got bit by the injury bug, and so I know the feeling of that, not only the physical part of it, but the mental part of it, to try to bounce back to that. Also, to get a chance to talk about Coach Staley, I got an opportunity to talk to him right when they brought him in, and we had a great conversation. Also met him in person, and just the energy around the Chargers is different this year. Being around the facility myself, you know, talking to the players, there's a different feeling around the building. So we're expecting huge things out of my Chargers this year. Can't wait to see them at SoFi Stadium. It's going to be mega. Thank you guys for listening to another Lights Out podcast. With me, Sean Merriman. Those reviews, the support, the retweets, the reposts on social media. Love all of it. I try to get to you guys as much as possible when I see it. We're growing like hell, and it's all because of you guys. Thank you.